I am Fran Storch. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. Today I am Peddlin' Fran, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk for August 15th, 2018. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, this week without Peddlin' Ron, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or would like to contribute information to the show and are listening live, you can email me today at radionaturopath@gmail.com. That's radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you are listening to this on podcast, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. That's bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk at whus.org or on iTunes. All right, so Ron's rant of the week. I didn't make this up, so it is Ron's rant of the week. Cyclists who don't vote, you gotta vote. Did you vote in the primary yesterday? Well, of course, if you're an independent, you didn't vote in the primary yesterday, so that's okay. But if you are a Democrat or Republican, we hope that you voted. Voting is really important. Bicycling legislation starts at the voting booth, so it's a really good idea to vote. I voted. Big shout out to the folks over at the Buchanan Auditorium there, and you know, marched in about 6:30 last night. It was very nice. Met some nice people. Because I have KT tape on my knee, I go around and I'm explaining KT tape to almost everybody I meet. So I'm thinking about doing something with KT because I have been their advocate for so long. My KT tape is very obvious because it is black, because the extreme tape comes in black, also in black and black. And it's very obvious on my knee, so I get to talk about it a lot. Big fan, I must say. All right. So there's further discussion about voting and cycling legislation. You can go to Bicycle Talk and let us know how you feel about this. On the positive side, Lawson Craddock, we just cannot get enough of young Lawson Craddock. He was the Lantin Rouge in the Tour de France. So what that means is that this poor kid had a bad bicycle crash the first day of the Tour de France. He stayed in the Tour de France, and he was the last one to finish. Now, mind you, even though he was the last one to finish, you have to remember that there were a whole bunch of riders that didn't finish, but he finished. And even though he was the Lantin Rouge, it was still an amazing feat because he was quite injured when he finished the Tour de France. So this guy is a superhero because he was riding more than just himself. He was riding for his Education First and his Education First DREPAC team. He's 26 years old. He's from Houston, and he raised a great deal of money for the Alkek Velodrome, where he got his cycling start. And so he doubled his goal, and the funds raised came from almost 3,000 donors in 20 days. It's really incredible. All right, so a quick maintenance minute. Last week we talked about chains and cleaning lubrication. This week it's inspecting your tires for wear and issues. If you're planning a big ride this weekend, for example, the Steeplechase Bicycle Tour, it's a good idea to look over those tires carefully. Time to inspect for wear, cuts, cracking of the sidewalls, and any separation of rubber from the casing. So if you're not sure how to check over those tires, you can get a trained person to do it. There are lovely bicycle shops in the area that you can check out, and you should check it over yourself as well. And so you might need a tire, because if you're on the Steeplechase Bicycle Tour this weekend, for example, you don't want to have an episode where, what if you're like on your way to Woodstock, and I have to say the Woodstock rest stop is super fantastic, and you get a flat. You have to wait that much longer to get the ginger shrub and the blueberries and the eggs and the olives and the salt and the nice people. So it's really important to check your tires. By the way, if your tire goes out and you're going down a big descent, you could catastrophically fail, and you could have a safety issue. So it more than just getting the ginger shrub from Woodstock, you got to have safe tires. All right. So that I had enough of this. Let's get to our guests. So today we are here to talk about the Steeplechase Bicycle Tour, and I'm so excited to have two wonderful guests here today. We have Victoria Nemirovsky and Paula Shepherd. So Victoria, please tell us how you are involved, first of all, in the organization you're involved in, and then the Steeplechase. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Thanks for having us today, Fran. I am the director of the Windham Area Interfaith Ministry, and we are one of the founding members of the Steeplechase Bike Tour, which is a fundraiser for some local nonprofits in the Willimantic area. WAME, obviously, the Windham No Freeze, and Perception Programs. So that's how I'm involved with it. Basically, it's just I'm losing my train of thought here. It's a year-round planning process for us. We work very hard on it, making sure that all of the routes and everything are in place and everything goes like clockwork on the day of the event. But as I said, this is a fundraiser for our organization, so we're very, very invested in its success.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. It's such an exciting event. People think of it both as a wonderful event to support these very worthwhile organizations, as well as a big challenge. It's something, because it's towards the end of the summer, you can train for a long distance ride throughout the year, and it's very exciting, and there's always great rest stops, and it's really wonderful. So tell us a little bit more, how did the Steeplechase get started?
Well, I wasn't around. It's the 27th year this year, but history has it that Perception Programs and volunteers from Perception Programs and volunteers from WAME wanted to host a fundraiser that would get the community involved and out and doing something healthy and raising money at the same time. So staff got together, and I think when they started with two routes. I'm going to guess it was maybe the 20 and the 50 or something like that. And it's evolved over the last 27 years to, we have actually six routes this year, which include a 5.6 mile route that you can either walk or ride and go all the way up to our 100 mile route, which I know that you are familiar with, Fran.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's actually how it got started. And, you know, the planning committee, of course, has grown over the years. We've gotten more partners involved with it, more riders involved with it, and it's really become a staple in the community. And it's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful ride, all of the routes through lovely northeastern Connecticut, roads that aren't often traveled on, and it's just ideal.
It's really lovely. I have to tell, so do you know the story about how the Steeplechase got named?
I do.
You want to tell it?
Well, of course. Thank you for reminding me. Since WAME, which is the Windham Area Interfaith Ministry, we are sort of a consortium of about 40 different faith communities that support our work in Willimantic and the 12 surrounding areas. So our rest stops are actually at some of the faith communities that are members of WAME. So when you're riding your bicycle from rest stop to rest stop, you're actually chasing the steeples in each of those rest stops. So needless to say, the rest stops all have real bathrooms, which I think are really, really important.
Really wonderful.
Really. And they all have really good food and healthy food and lots of it. And some of them even have little volunteers who will paint your fingernails.
Yes, that's the Eastford Baptist Church. Awesome. So I have to tell you Ron's version. This is Ron's version. Okay, so absolutely. The reason the Steeplechase is called the Steeplechase is because you are, in fact, chasing steeples to go to the different rest stops. And it is not, in fact, a steeplechase. A steeplechase race is a running race where you have obstacles. You go around a track. It has obstacles with hurdles, and you run through a puddle, too.
Oh.
Which is weird. But anyway, that's what a steeplechase actually. And there's also a steeplechase that's a horse race. I'm not sure what that exactly involves. But anyway, my understanding was, as you said, you had a planning committee. And one of the people at the planning committee was our very own Pedlin Ron. And he was at the planning committee. And you were talking about how you were going to have the rest stops, these wonderful rest stops at all the different faith communities. And the idea that you were going to go from one to the next. You were like, what should we call this? Well, Ron said, well, that's funny. We should just call it the Steeplechase because you're chasing the steeples. And nobody laughed. That's how he tells it, anyway, that it was actually Ron's idea to call it the Steeplechase.
Well, that was a good idea.
I know, right?
Very good idea. And I love Ron. He becomes his own steeple on the Boombox Parade in Willimantic when he wears that big cardboard steeple and has bicyclists chase him down Main Street.
And
that's right.
We chase the steeple on Main Street. It's true. It's very, very clever. Really, so with the Farm to Fork Fondos that we attend, when they tell people to leave, when they, you know, not exactly shoot the gun, but when they say go, we have a lead out. And the lead out is a tractor because it's the Farm to Fork Fondo.
That's a great idea.
I know. What I'm wondering is, we didn't set it up this year, but maybe we should have somebody lead out.
On that steeple, wearing that lovely steeple on their head.
Yes. Okay. That would be so funny. So for next year. Yeah. It's a kind of a good idea. Okay. And it is the 27th anniversary. So tell us about Jeffrey P. Austin.
Okay. The Jeffrey P. Austin is a Family Foundation is a local foundation that's been doing incredible work in our community. And what they're doing is matching all of the funds that we raise at the Steeplechase this year. This is the second year that they're doing it, and we're hoping that as a result of their match, we'll have even a more successful fundraiser than we did last year.
Right. So that's so exciting. And it's really wonderful that they're doing it. It says that this is happening on a very special eve, that the next day is a super day.
Hi, Fran.
Hi, Paula. It's so great to have you. This is Paula Shepherd. And Paula, what is your role in the Steeplechase?
Well, I'm a volunteer on the committee. The planning committee, and I sit on the board of the No Freeze Shelter, the Windham Region No Freeze Project. So I'm involved coming in from that perspective. I also work on getting information out about the event. The day that is the next day, last year it was actually held on this day, but we're on the eve of it this year, is World Humanitarian Day. That the United Nations observes every year. And that's a day when they encourage people to go out into the world and be the change and make a difference.
Aww.
And do something that's going to make things better. And by riding in the Steeplechase, we're making things better.
Yeah.
My family rides, as well as, you know, me being active on the board. My family, I have two, I don't want to call them younger kids. They're kind of in the middle kids. They're 12 and 17. And you're never too young to ride, and you're never too old to ride.
That's right.
No. So our whole family rides in the Steeplechase. We, you know, the big routes are 20, 35, 50, 62 and a half, and 100 miles. We are not up to the 100-mile ride.
Right.
But we do the 20-mile ride every year. And
that's,
you know,
wonderful.
My kids get through it and don't even get through it. They were ready to ride more at the end of the 20-mile ride last year. Yeah.
Maybe you're ready for 35.
You know, I considered it, but it was, I don't know. I'm not ready. Next year.
Next year.
One of the things you can do is you can always, if you are not sure what ride route you want to do, you want to err on the short side. And if you don't mind doubling back, just go out a little bit and do some more miles. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do 35, but say your kids get back and you've done 20 and they're like, Mom, Dad, we want to go some more. Maybe you want to go out and do the short loop.
Right, the 5 mile.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And you can always do, you can always add on. That's how I look at it. If you're not sure, go short and then add on.
Right. Good idea.
You have options then. One of the nice things about the shorter routes, I think all of the shorter routes, except all of the shorter routes, six for the metric, the 62 and a half down, they all stop at the Holy Cow Family Shelter.
Mm.
So the Holy Cow Family Shelter, I'm very familiar with it because it's a couple doors down from where I live. So I pass it every day, and it's really worth seeing. And Dave Stevens, who lives at that's his property, where it's his field, where sometimes you will see sheep that look like goats, and sometimes you will see horses, and sometimes you'll see cows, and once in a while you see donkeys. He has the Holy Cow Family Shelters in the field. And what he did, what happened was you needed another rest stop on the shorter routes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so there wasn't a convenient faith community. Actually, there was. It's just bovine. Yes. So we discovered the bovine faith community, and that would be known as the Holy Cow Family Shelter. So Dave had this very clever idea of building this little overhead, like a lean-to or gazebo, and it says right on it, Holy Cow Family Shelter. And beneath it, there's a sign that says, Pastor M. Bossy always roams. And so what's very exciting is during the year, you see cows munching mm-hmm. away at the Holy Cow Family Shelter. You know, they're ruminating on spirit, I suppose.
Right behind the bowling ball pyramid.
Yes, and that's the other thing. You have to see the bowling ball pyramid. So we've asked Dave, what's with the bowling balls? Everybody wants to know, what's with the bowling balls? And, you know, he says that the cows enjoy it. They like it. They knock it down. He picks them back up. They knock it down. It's a good time. So it's a bowling ball pyramid. So I have to say, I'm flying solo here today, so I'm unable to answer the phone. So if you can hold your calls, that would be great. I can answer the phone after the show, or you can write me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. So please do email me, radionaturopath@gmail.com, if you have a question, and I will be able to answer it on the air. So, yeah, so that place is a hoot because, and it's usually pretty fun because they may have some animals for you to pet, and then you often have a little fire going, and you can make s'mores. And
they have really all homemade treats there yeah. in addition to, you know, your regular fruit and stuff. So.
And I think the neighbors come in from what I was told last year because we did stop there, too. The neighbors are all manning the shelter.
Yeah.
And what a great community.
Yeah.
Group of really nice
I would
folks.
Do, if I wasn't writing, I would do it. Mm-hmm. Well, so this year I have an interesting situation because I have this knee. Usually I ride the Century Ride, like since 2000, the first year when I didn't know Ron yet, in 2004, I rode the 50 and I had my really old Schwinn bike.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it was great. And I didn't have good brakes and I had to go down Scotland Dam and it was kind of scary.
Yeah.
And then the next year, I had my my first road bike. So that year, I was already with Ron and we rode the Century. And that so I rode the Century every year until there was one year where it was raining a lot.
Yeah, I remember that year very clearly.
Yeah, and right, and, which is a little disappointing. But a lot of people still rode distances. Some people still rode the Metric and still rode the Century.
It was amazing. People came in and rode, and they would just come in and, you know, donate if they didn't ride. It was pretty.
Yeah.
It was a pretty busy day despite the rain.
Right. And so that year I only rode 30 miles. But aside from that, the first year in that year, I've ridden the Century every year. This is going to be the first year in a long time I do not ride the Century because I am respecting my knee. So I'm going to do a fun thing because I have a dear friend who intends. So we call ourselves the Cowtails, myself and my friend Martin Summer and my other friend Lance Minkler. We're the Cowtails because we ride the Century and we're often the last ones in from the Century. Mm-hmm. So you have a nice course support guy who referred to us as the Cowtails.
That's great.
So we busted a gut over that. And we're calling ourselves the Cowtails. The T-shirt and the jersey are in the works. I'm going to ride with my Cowtail buddies. But Lance doesn't want to do the Century this year. He's going to do the Metric. And Martin does want to do the Century. But for me to, I have to decrease my miles. So I'm going to ride with Martin up to We Like It.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to plant a car. And then I'm going to drive up to Woodstock and cheer him on there. And then I'm going to drive over to Eastford and hopefully help with the nail painting. Oh. And then I'm going to leave my car at Eastford and I'm going to ride back with him down 89. And that will take out the biggest hills. And again, people are going to be like, oh, you're wimping out. But I'm not. I'm kind of respecting
yeah,
my...
Yeah, it sounds to me like you really made a perfect day of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no wimp out at all there.
Right. No, and I, because I've been respecting my healing, I don't have the miles to do it at this time. Even if I could do it, it wouldn't be a good idea. So
yeah.
It's my thing. Every year I do the Steeplechase Century, but this year I'm going to, it's more important, my health is more important than doing the full Century, and
right.
I'll be there to support.
Right.
So.
And you've got to have that knee ready for next year.
You got it. It's all true. Okay, so you can tell us, if you like, tell us a little bit more about perception programs, if you would.
Okay, I can Well, you know what something funny is? This is kind of funny. My very first job out of college was at Perception House.
Wow.
I think that might have been pre-steeplechase, because I don't recall the steeplechase going on at that time. So anyway, Perception Programs is, it's a mental, they deal with substance abuse issues and mental health issues. They run a variety of sober houses and programs in the Windham and surrounding area. They've been around for a very, very long time, doing great work in the community. They're a wonderful community partner in that we all share, the three organizations that are involved in this, share a lot of the same clients and provide various services for those clients. So we work very hard at working together for the complete health of the client that we're attending to. And some, as I said, some of the services that Perception Programs offers really center around mental health and substance abuse issues.
Very good. And then do tell us about WAIM. What's WAIM?
WAIM. Now, that's an easier one for me. we provide basic needs. We provide services, basic services to folks from Windham and 12 surrounding towns. So we serve about 8,000 people a year with clothing, furniture, household items, and other things that have been donated by the community members and then redistributed to those folks in need. That's our core program. We also have an emergency financial assistance program, which the goal is to really keep people housed and stable and try to, you know, help them meet expenses that they can't meet on their own, like heating expenses, or if there's an unforeseen car repair, we can help them with something like that. Licenses, birth certificates, it's runs the gamut. That's our other main program. And we also have a beautiful community garden at Lauder Park. And we have the Partners in Independence Adult Mentoring Program, which is our latest addition. But it's one of our programs that's definitely going strongest at this point. That program matches adult mentors with adult learning partners who are really trying to get their lives in better order and become more self-sustaining. So the adult mentors work with the learning partners usually for about up to a year, and they self-identify the goals that they hope to address. And it's been amazing. We've seen people become employed. We've seen people go back to school. We've seen people get refreshed in their job training skill, in their job skills. So there's a lot going on at WAIM for a little program.
That's great. It's really impressive. Yeah. It speaks to the worth of these causes. They're just really amazing organizations. I'm very proud to be participating in the steeplechase, and I'm very proud to be a part of this community, that we should have such amazing services in this community. So please tell us about the Windham No Freeze Project.
This is the first time I've ever really had to describe it. Windham Region No Freeze Project is an organization that's grown a great deal over the past. It's been in existence for what, probably 25 years?
No. The No Freeze started, let's see, I've been at WAIM about 13 years, so I'm going to say probably about 15 years.
15
or
years,
so.
Okay, yeah. So I'm overestimating how big it is. But it started as just a shelter that was actually in churches, and it would run from November to about March or April when the weather is really, really cold and people could literally freeze to death outside. So these churches and a group of volunteers who would stay with the homeless people would just invite them in overnight. And it was started with faith organizations also. And it grew over time, and it's moved to different locations throughout Willimantic. It's always been located in Willimantic. And now it's on Bridge Street in Willimantic. It is still a no-freeze shelter, but it's grown into much more than that. So the shelter itself is still open from November until April approximately. But throughout the rest of the year, we care for homeless people in the community by keeping the doors open so that they can take showers, so that they can come in and get personal care items, hygiene items. We have social workers on staff who work and reconnect these homeless people to the community, to social services, to jobs to what, you know, their families who they've lost touch with. So it's an excellent organization, and it's critical to our community.
It is. This is so amazing. I mean, really, this Steeplechase Bicycle Tour, it is so popular, and so many people come, and we raise a good deal of money to help these organizations, and we have the Jeffrey Piasson Foundation matching those funds. What a great event. And then the 19th. So is the World Humanitarian Day is always August 19th? Is that how that works?
Yes, it's always August 19th.
Okay, and so last year, the Steeplechase was on World Humanitarian Day. So generally, it's going to be within a week of World Humanitarian Day. What a great way to celebrate. It's really pretty amazing. So we have some area businesses and clubs that sign up as teams. Can you talk about that?
I can talk a little bit about it.
I can help a little if you want.
I think that you have some knowledge about that.
Yeah.
Our two biggest teams at this point are Thread City Cyclists and Colchester Dental.
Right.
And they have this wonderful little competition going on between the two of them, which has been really working out to our advantage.
Of course.
So, and last year, I think it was last year, within the last few years, the home selling team has gotten another team
thrown down the gauntlet.
Thrown down the gauntlet and got involved. And this morning on the way here, we just picked up a donation from a team from Gilead Church that's riding for the first time, a team of six people from Gilead Church.
Nice.
So, and they, so they gave us all their registration papers today. So that's exactly what we're really trying to do is encourage teams to get involved with this. And maybe Paula can speak to this a little bit better because she's been doing such a fantastic job in giving Steeplechase a social media presence that I think that more teams and more bicycle clubs are actually aware that we even exist.
Yes.
It's very hard to reach out to the clubs because they're not true. It's just a group of people who are getting together and who are riding, right? So how do you reach out to them? Sometimes I always have Steeplechase cards in my car, and when I see groups of cyclists going by, I always want to sounds a little dangerous and I wouldn't do this.
No, that's great.
But social media has allowed us to reach out and communicate with these folks because the way they're communicating with each other is through Twitter and is through Facebook and is through Instagram
and Meetup.
And Meetup, yeah. So we've been reaching out through those by creating pages on those social media and putting out posts and then linking to those groups and tagging people and tagging organizations. We've been reaching out to them, and we're trying to get more and more groups involved, including trying to reach out to even the Yukon Cycling Club.
Terrific.
And, organizations like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, because it's a really great, in terms of a training ride, it's a really great training ride, and it really helps you to get to know the areas. That's terrific. All right, and so tell us some of the rest stops, some of the places that we get to be stopping. We already talked about the Holy Cow Family Shelter, and again, I can, if you're not sure, I could help.
Well, what's your favorite rest stop?
I don't want to say a favorite because they're all wonderful in their own ways. I can go through and talk about what I like about the various rest stops. So, for example, so we always stop at Lebanon, at St. Francis of Assisi in Lebanon first. And, the first rest stop is 20-odd miles out if you're on the Sentry Ride. So I don't know that the some of the shorter rides get to go there.
I think the shorter rides, their first stop is at the Episcopal Church.
That's right. There's the Episcopal Church. So I'm pretty sure that when I was riding, I think that when I rode the 50 the first year, I got to go there. And of course, they're very nice over there, but I don't get to go there. So I don't. So big shout out to Episcopal Church and Wyndham Center. All right. So then there's the St. Francis of Assisi Church, the Catholic Church in Lebanon. Lovely people over there. They usually have some kind of a homemade cookie. They always have bananas and lots of Gatorade. One of the things they always seem to have there is fruit snacks, the chewy fruit snacks.
Yum.
Love those.
Yum.
Love those. Great to carry. Easy to eat on your bike. It's really fun. And so it's the first place you see people, and then you leave there and you go back around the Lebanon Green and you go screaming down 207 and you wind up in Franklin. And let me see. So your next rest stop, I guess, is Scotland.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be St. Margaret's. Mm-hmm. So then you're at St. Margaret's in Scotland. St. Margaret's is not a thing anymore, unfortunately.
Well, it's...
So explain what's going on with St. Margaret's.
Well, I'll try to explain. I don't think St. Margaret's no longer exists.
Right.
But the Scotland Congregational Church is working with folks who used to go to St. Margaret's, and they are together providing a rest stop in the area.
And they set up at the same spot.
And they set up at the same spot.
So
exactly.
here's a funny thing. You want to hear a funny thing? So I live locally. I live, you know, pretty close to... So, you know, if I want to do a 20-ish mile loop, like a low 20s loop, I frequently ride to Scotland. And so if I'm coming from 97, or if we're doing any ride, even if it's a Saturday ride and we're doing a longer ride, but we're finishing through Scotland and we're coming, north on 97 and we hit Scotland Center, our next stop, our next thing we do is we're supposed to cross 14 and hit Brook Road.
Mm-hmm.
We don't use the intersection. We hang a right and we go into St. Margaret's parking lot and go down. Even if it's not the steeplechase, and we do it because of the steeplechase.
That's great.
And we always do it. You know, when I'm leading a ride out there, I do not cross at the intersection. I cross through St. Margaret's to do a shout out energetically to the steeplechase.
Well, they love it. Oh boy, they're so dedicated. All the rest stops.
I know, and they open up the church so you can get in there. Mm-hmm. And St. Margaret's is known for their brownies.
Oh, okay. See, I've only. The farthest I've gone is 20 miles, so this is all news to me.
That's okay. They have the s'mores at the Holy Cow Family
That's
Shelter.
Right. Yeah,
so you're good, you know. But St. Margaret's is also very good because it's starting to get hot that time of day, so they usually have a lot of fruit. You can get your watermelon, you can get your oranges, and really good about the lemonade and snacks and things like that. So well-stocked. Everybody's happy to see you. They're really nice. So that's the next rest stop, and then you keep going. And if you are, if you're coming home, if you're done and you're going to do the 50, you're going to do the metric. You're going to hit the Holy Cow Family Shelter next, and then ultimately you're going to hit the First Congregational Church in Mansfield, right?
Oh,
they're not going to do it
this
anymore?
Year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think
it's so close
that off
to the
because it's so close to the Eastern.
Yeah, people don't
and,
stop.
And we actually have a new stop this year because of the 5.6 mile walk ride.
Oh,
we're
tell.
Be doing.
Do tell.
We're going to be stopping at the First Congregational Church of Willimantic.
Oh, very
which
good.
Which is one of the founding members of WAME.
Wonderful. So, where is the First Congregational Church?
And probably of the No Freeze as well.
Right.
It's right on the corner of Valley and High.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. So that's where the...
Not High Street, Walnut. I'm sorry.
Yes, yes. That's where the Covenant Soup Kitchen
it's
is.
It's across the street across from the Covenant Soup Kitchen.
Sorry.
Exactly.
Yes, okay.
Yep.
Right on. All right. Oh, how wonderful. That's wonderful. It's a new rest stop.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next rest stop, let's see. So you leave St. Margaret's, and if either you're going to go back, or if you're going to continue on the Sentry, you're going to wind up at We Like It Ice Cream. And there's another church there, which
is Hampton. Are we in Hampton?
We're in Pomfret.
So
but there's a church group that sets up there.
Eastbrook? Eastford?
No. It's
sorry.
Not Eastford. And they're wonderful people,
I'm
too.
I'm one of the organizers.
They're really lovely people, too. And they always set up. They're always happy to see us, and they recognize us, and they're really nice, and...
Ed Austin's going to have my head for not knowing
it's
this.
It's a good faith group, yeah. But they set up at We Like, so it's not We Like It themselves.
Oh, no. I know who that is.
Yeah.
That is they had Living Faith.
That's it.
Faith community.
Yes.
It used to be the Ashford Baptist, I want to say.
Okay.
But they're out of Ashford, and their faith community is called Living Faith.
Yes, and they're lovely people. They're always happy to see us. They're very kind.
They're
very concerned for us, make sure we get enough water and that we're taken care of. And they're like, here, have these snacks. And I may actually get ice cream this year because I'm going to take a break from riding.
Oh, well, you have to get ice. If you're going to be there, you have to get ice cream.
I know. I might get ice cream the night before because my friends live on Rich Road. So that's one of the places where there is a dirt section. It's a short dirt section on Rich Road. And I have a couple who are good friends who live on Rich Road. And that's where I'm going to plant my car.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and then I'm going to hang out with Martin until he leaves, and then I'm going to go get my car. So if I were to go along with Martin, then I would be at one of the great rest. I mean, I don't like to pick a favorite, but I have to say Woodstock Baptist is pretty darn awesome, because you get there, you're really hot, you're at 70 miles, and they are super stocked, you know, and the rest stop is inside the church. Sometimes it's outside, sometimes it's inside, and it's so nice to go inside because it's air conditioned.
Nice and cool.
They have not one, not two, but three bathrooms.
Right.
And with well stocked with nice soap and stuff, and somebody makes a ginger shrub, which is really amazing.
What is a ginger shrub?
It has ginger. It can have ginger tea or ale or beer in it, you know, some kind of ginger, plus vinegar. And it may be fermented, or it may be just, you know, a refreshing drink that's mixed with, and one of the elements of a shrub is vinegar. So it's really refreshing, and it's anti-inflammatory. And so it's a really good thing to have on a long bike ride.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I have to try that.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And it's cold?
Yeah. They keep it in containers. And they also have, you know, your sport drinks as well. And then they have a spread. They bake. They have energy bars. They have fruit bars. They also have salty snacks. Like, they have savory things like cheese and olives. And, you know, crackers. And they have fruit. And like, it's just an absolute, you could basically eat lunch there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very good.
So you're not going to lose any weight riding in the steeplechase.
It's one of those century rides that you could gain weight on, absolutely. So that's Woodstock. So you're up in the beautiful Woodstock Valley.
Yeah, gorgeous.
And then you have to climb out of the Woodstock Valley. Oy vey. So we used to, back in the day, before when Ron just came on as the ride route coordinator, we used to climb out of the Woodstock Valley by climbing 197, which was very difficult. And that was, we would climb out. It was hot. It was hard. It was a long 5 mile climb up 197, and then you'd get to 198, and you'd go down, and you'd go to Eastford. Mm-hmm. And so he stopped doing that. He decided he was going to put in County Road. That would be, it's difficult, but it's shorter. So County Road is legendary. So if you want a challenge, check out County Road. So you go from Roseland, you go past Roseland Park, and you wind up on 171, and you wind up at County Road. Or maybe it's 169. You take 169 and you pick up, or maybe it's not 169. It's whatever, wherever you pick up County Road. County Road is a heck of a climb. And the hard thing about it is you're at mile 75.
It's
usually hot. So you have to climb that and get over that. And if you are looking for a challenge, it's a wonderful thing to do.
You know, it's funny because we worry sometimes that some of the routes might be challenging or more challenging in certain areas than some of the riders would like them to be. So last year we sent out a survey to our 100-mile riders, and I was really surprised. Out of the people that responded, they love the challenge. They want that challenge.
They
don't want any changes with the routes. They just want to keep on and keep on pushing themselves to their highest athleticism. So, roots stay.
Well, County Road is the most challenging hill on the ride. And so if you get over County Road, it's really nice. You're a little cooked, and then you do, you hit 171, and then you pick up Bungie Hill. Bungie Hill's, you have to climb up to get to the good descent. And there's an amazing descent down Bungie Hill, and then it kind of goes up and down. And then you're done Bungie Hill. When you finish Bungie Hill, you're on 198, and then you pick up East Center Street, and then you wind up at the Eastford Baptist Church. And the Eastern Baptist Church is legendary because you get your nails painted. And we love that. It's just so much fun. And one of the things is, 1 year, now I'm not a big, you know, commercial cola fan, but on a ride like that, I do like my cola. Mm-hmm. And so there's a very nice woman there named Linda who runs the rest up. And the woman who does your nails is Megan. They're just lovely people. And 1 year, Linda asked me if there's anything else I would like to see. And I said, I'd really like some cola. You know, it could be Pepsi, Coke, or whatever brand, but cola at this point in the ride, you want a Coke. So she started doing that. So
there's
many flavors of Gatorade, and you get your Coke there if you want it, your cola if you want it. And again, like I said, I'm not a big fan of commercial colas. However, on a long, hot bike ride, it really gives you a kick.
Yeah, you totally deserve it.
The combination of the caffeine and the sugar and the bubbles, it's like, yes, and it sends you home. And so once you're at the Eastford Baptist Church, you're gonna go you go and pick up Boston Hollow, and a few years ago, Ron decided to make the route on the dirt road because it's much kinder than having to do Westford Road, which has some really nasty bumps, especially towards the end, some really like sharp, you know, double-digit climbs. Hmm. They're short, but they're at a time you don't want to see. It's much easier to do the dirt road. Then you have to, at the end of the dirt road, you do have to climb up to the top of 89. Then you're at the top of 89, you have that brilliant finish. And this is the wonderful thing about the steeplechase is the various routes that get up that far. You have that fantastic finish of the ride, and you get to go sailing down 89 because you're. And it's amazing if you look at a profile of Route 89. You know, because I ride it a lot up and down. You can see the profile. It really goes up, up, up. You start in Mansfield and you go up to Ashford. It goes up gradually, up, 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 up. Well, when you go down it, you are screaming down back all the way to Mansfield. It's incredible.
Perfect.
And then you have a few. The only thing is Condonville Road. If you're a little crampy, there are a couple of bumps on Condonville Road, and then you're back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing experience. And like you said, the roads in northeastern Connecticut are tremendous. They're really beautiful. The ride routes, starting a number of years ago, that I think the ride routes were started to be put together by Ron in 2006, because I was instrumental in that. Because Ron had some concerns when I rode with him in 2005 that there were some roads in it that were a little too urban, right? You know, a little too busy.
Sure.
So I said, Ron, don't complain. Join the committee. So he did.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Fran. That's great. We love having Ron
and
on our
committee. And he just really knows the roads. So if you're looking for a way to see beautiful roads, this is a really beautiful ride. We put together a lot of, you know, roads that are not super well-traveled, country roads. Yes, there's some challenges. There's some climbs. There's some descents. And it's really exciting.
You know, I think there's another thing about the steeplechase that you may not have in a lot of your other rides is the sag wagons. So
yes.
You don't have to worry, even though you're going, you know, 50 or 60 miles out from where you're starting, if anything ever happens, we've got sag wagons that will come out and pick you up off the road and bring you back.
Yeah.
We had a couple last year. One rider who's coming back this year, he's a very faithful rider. I think it was on the 62.5. I think he had a little bit of an accident, and we brought him back. He was fine. We brought him back, and you know, he wanted to get back up and finish his route. But so those, we're not very active, but when you need us, we're out there, and that's really a nice benefit of the ride.
So, what time is registration?
So registration is going on now.
You can go to. The website you can register at?
The easiest way is probably going to be going to bikereg.com.
Okay, very good.
And you can do all your paperwork and, you know, do everything you need to do to be pre-registered for the ride. And there's a little cost savings if you pre-register. Day of registration starts at 7 a.m. and you can register up until 11 a.m. And riders are going off. Geez, I was there last year. People were getting there more like 6 a.m. because the hardcore riders like you, Fran, want to get out there as early as they can.
We won't be there that early.
Definitely by 6:30, we had a crew there.
Sure.
Willing to go out.
Sure.
And you can register right there at the tables.
Yes.
Yeah, at registration tables, and take care of bring your donations. And the 162.5-mile rides are those riders are out by 8 o'clock in the morning. The 50-mile rides are usually out by 9, and then the shorter rides, like my family rides on the 5-mile, the 20-mile, the 35, those folks are out by 10 a.m. And they're coming back, what would you say, by 3-4 o'clock typically?
We hope to have everybody back by 3 or 4. That's not always
doesn't always happen.
But we stay there until every person is accounted for.
And when you come back, there's a tent full of massage therapists who can help you out. And there's a beautiful spread of food.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's more food.
That's fantastic. So I hear that you have an elder cyclist.
Absolutely. Yeah. you have absolutely no excuse not to ride in the steeplechase if our friend Saul Nesselroth, who lives in Mansfield, continues to ride every year. Saul has ridden in almost every steeplechase bike tour in the 27 years that it's been in existence. The only years he hasn't ridden are the ones when he's had joint replacement.
Right.
And that's very understandable.
Right.
So this year, Saul is 91 years old.
Yep.
And he's choosing his route right now. Last year, he rode the 20 mile with me and my family. But this year, he's trying to decide what he's going to ride. But keep in mind that to celebrate his 91st birthday, which was this month in August, he went downhill mountain biking.
I know.
With his grandson.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
I hope I can ride a stationary bike when I'm 91 years old, if I make it there.
And last year, he rode 90K for his 90th birthday.
Wow. Exactly. Yeah. He's amazing.
I know. He's a lovely man.
So that's our oldest cyclist.
And he's on my ride committee. He's the ride committee coordinator for Thread City Cyclers, and he's the one of the co-coordinators for the beginner and D-level rides along with Mark Campbell. So I'll be seeing him tonight at the so I'll find out for sure which ride he's doing tonight, because he'll be at the meeting. Perfect. So I mean, he's really active, and he's active in Thread City Cyclers, and he rides with us, and we're so honored to have him. You know, it's mazel tov like that. So this is fantastic. It's so great to have you both here. So you have been listening to Bicycle Talk. And I've got Victoria Nemirovsky here and Paula Shepherd. And Victoria is the director of the Willimantic Area Interfaith Ministry, or WAME. And Paula, say your position again.
I'm a mom. I'm a public relations practitioner. And I sit on the board of the Wyndham No Freeze Project.
Terrific. And so we're here today to promote the Steeplechase Bike Tour. And you can go to steeplechasebiketour.org to get more information. And you can register at bikereg.org. And there is a nominal fee to sign up. And then there's also a minimum donation. And you can find out about that once again at steeplechase.org. And so we're very excited about this. We hope to see you at the steeplechase. I'll be there. I'll be ready to ride. I don't care if it's raining. Hopefully it won't rain.
It won't rain.
It's no, not going to rain.
So even if it does, so what? I'm going. So I can't wait. So I'm so thankful that you have been here today. And steeplechase, I look forward to the steeplechase every year, and I'm very much looking forward to it this year as well. So all right, so I'm going to wrap up here on Bicycle Talk for the day. Thank you so much for listening. Let me get into the calendar. Beyond the steeplechase, we've got the Ashford Metric Century Gravel Grinder, which is Saturday, September 15th. You can get more information there at ashfordmetriccentury.wordpress.com and also at nearacearthwordpress.com. There's a 65.5-mile ride with over 4,500 feet of climbing with 40% gravel. And then there's a 33-mile ride with almost 2,300 feet of climbing and 37% gravel. The Metric Century starts at 7:30 in the morning, and you can start on the shorter ride at 9 a.m. That is Sunday, Saturday, September 15th. And cyclocross is coming up. That will be the first weekend in October. All right. So you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with me, Pedlin Fran, I guess. a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have been listening to this live or on podcast and would like to comment, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to more past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you have a comment or would like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, please send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedlin Fran. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.